Hello, all you people out there in internet radio land. This is Blake Ruby. Welcome to my show, Gods and Goddesses. And also all you extraterrestrials out there listening in, welcome to you too. I know some are far behind the moon. Some might be just orbiting the Earth, riding the electromagnetic airwaves somewhere throughout our atmosphere, maybe cloaked in invisibility. You're all awesome. We are children of the Most High, Supreme Creator of the universe, are we not? Each and every one of us. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are part of the school of the universe, the universe of the universe, where we are learning to evolve here on this planet. And when we're finished with this one, we're going to go to a next one. I guarantee it. You can trust me. I'm telling you the truth. That will happen. Well, how have you been this last week? I've been okay. Just really involved with the election coming up, you know, thinking about it a lot, I mean, and trying to decide who I'm going to vote for, whether or not I'm going to vote. And I was walking with my wife last night. We were taking the dogs for a walk, as we do three times a week. And by the way, if you have dogs, you got to let them run. They love to run. A dog that can run is a happy dog and a healthy dog. You got to find some place where they can run, you know, work it out. Walking them on a leash, that is so boring for a dog. I know they get some good exercise out of that, but dogs love to run. They live, our dogs, they live to run. And they are so healthy and happy, and we have a great time. I've gone in through the gate at Lackland Air Force Base with our dogs in our car, and we get comments from the gate guards, oh, you have some awesome dogs there. Because not only do we let them run around, but also we feed them well, too. They deserve to be spoiled. I'm not talking about just ordinary dog food. We've got that. Victor Supreme is a good brand if you ever tried it. I've tried everything. We've given our dogs everything. Beneful, gravy train, all that stuff. But the hard dog food they like the best is Victor Supreme. Check it out on the internet. I've got all these different types. And then we give them chicken. I buy a rotisserie chicken at the local HEB grocery store. And one half chicken for three dogs split up in between them. Or I'll buy them hamburger. We'll buy them hamburger or steak, chuck steak, you know. It's not too expensive. And they love it. And they're happy, happy dogs. Anyway, so I was talking with my wife last night, and it started to get cold. We were doing the usual route, just chatting with each other, and I said, I don't even feel like voting. Is it okay if I don't vote? And she said, you got to vote. And I said, why? I said, why? And she said, because I'm telling you, you have to vote. And I was thinking, that's just not right. You know, besides whether or not you're Republican or Democrat and you believe in the values of each, we've got two men who are representing each of the parties, right? Besides the Libertarian, Independent, and the Green Party. And we have to make our mind, we have to choose them, even if, you know, I'm being a Christian myself, what I call myself basically a Christian, even though I don't believe everything the Bible has to say. But I know that the good Christians out there won't persecute me for that, not believing everything the Bible says. I believe most of it. But I believe in loving each other. I believe in trying to love your fellow human being. Mr. Trump, Mr. Biden, I respect them. I admire them for what they're doing, what they're going through right now. They didn't have to do this. You know, all the headaches and heartaches. You know what I'm talking about. But they still are doing it. And it takes a lot of courage, too. My hat is off to them. They are some good men. But there's the competition aspect. How about if I was to tell you, okay, let's go to a game, the ultimate game, Super Bowl or World Series or NBA Finals. And as you go in through the gate to get inside the building, they say, okay, which side are you on? Because you have to be on one side or the other. And let's say it's the Super Bowl, you get inside, you're going inside the huge sports arena, whatever they call them. And it's the New England Patriots and the Dallas Cowboys, just to give you a couple of names. And I would say, well, I don't really want to be on one side or the other because I like both teams. And I just want to see them play. I want to see good plays. No, you can't come in then. You have to choose one side or the other because we split up the Dallas Cowboys fans with the New England Patriots fans. Oh, man. Is that any way to govern a country, really? The competition that's going on. And so if Mr. Trump wins four more years, basically what's happened over the last few years, I like him. I like the way he thinks. You know, I respect the fact that he's a businessman and he's been successful. I don't dislike anybody, my friends out there, you know. And I try not to say negative things. I focus on positive things because I know what I say is swirling around me like an energy. And if I'm saying bad things, using swear words, and you're inviting the negative forces that exist, and there's a lot of danger involved with that. I mean, you know, we've been, as a family, we've been doing okay. You know, we haven't had too many health issues. We've had no major accidents, so to speak. We're basically a happy family. And I think one reason is because I'm the man in the family. We've got six people living in my house. It's because I don't focus on the negative too much. You won't find me talking negatively. I catch myself. I've heard, I've studied about when you talk negatively, you invite those energies around you, and lots of things can happen, to include losing your life, you know? The universe is being created as we talk, as I talk. And you can choose to either create along with it or destroy. And you don't go lightly against the Creator. There is a terrible, terrible wrath that is hidden from what you might be seeing. If you go against the will of the Creator, if you destroy what the Creator has created, does that make sense? And you can't comprehend, we can't comprehend the power of the Creator. The Creator who creates suns and moons and planets and bodies, all these different bodies that exist here on planet Earth, the insects, the reptiles, the birds, the fish, the amphibians, the mammals. The Creator is a creator of bodies, beautiful, intricate, little bodies, some that can fly with eyes that can see just like you can see. Isn't it awesome? So can reproduce and have a mind of their own to go where they want, just like you and me. Awesome. So I am still undecided because I've been taking in all the feedback, seeing both sides, the people involved, what they have to say. We watch CNN on our television here at home. I like watching Fox News. I hear the rationale from both sides. I've talked about it before in previous shows, and yet I haven't voted. I haven't voted yet, neither has my wife. My stepdaughter, she's out at one of these polling places as an election judge, and they're processing 600-700 people a day. The early voting is like it never has been before. And why is that, you suppose? Is it because people want the Democrats to be in power now? I can understand how Mr. Trump turns a lot of people off with his rhetoric, and that's a concern, because as I was saying about negativity, if you're calling people names and stuff, I don't do that myself. I've seen other people do it. The way he calls Vice President Biden Sleepy Joe and Nancy Pelosi Crazy Nancy and Bernie Sanders Crazy Bernie, I disagree with that. I really do. And his tweeting sometimes. I think you've got anger management issues. But then again, there's the factor of the Republican Party and the Democratic Party and all the values that they espouse. Who are you going to choose? The Democrats believe in abortion. The Republicans don't. The Republicans basically don't believe in climate change as much as the Democrats do. And immigration, there's a pretty big line drawn between them, you know. Mr. Trump built the wall to keep out the illegal immigrants, and that is a problem, I think, in my opinion, when people are coming into the country illegally. But some people don't have the wherewithal to do it otherwise, you know, to go through that proper process of getting a green card, et cetera, you know, and then ultimately American citizenship. They just can't do it. And they were talking, I watched the debate, and they were talking about the 500 children that were separated from the parents, and not a lot of love there, I think, going on. And we're short on love here, aren't we, people out there listening? We're short of love in America. Even back in the 80s, the Genesis, the great supergroup Genesis with Phil Collins, created that the song, and I mentioned it before in a previous show, called Land of Confusion, the United States. I think that's what they were referring to. Too many people causing too many problems and not enough love to go around. That's what it says in the song, and that was back in the 80s. And still today, you can say the same thing, probably even worse. Not enough love. Well, let me tell you how to spread love, my friends. Are you courageous enough to handle this, if I tell you? Are you brave enough? Are you loving enough? Are you strong enough to do this? What I'm about to tell you. And it's something you already knew, but you just don't think about it too often, like I do. Then again, I've had the advantage of being alive maybe longer than some of you. I'm 66 years old, 66 plus, and I've been through a lot of my life, and I know one thing you have to do, one thing that will make your life better, one thing you have to trust in and have faith in, is that there is a creator out there, and he, she is listening to you and watching you. And the powers of heaven, the powers that be, know all about you. Everything that you do is being recorded by a heavenly computer. Yes, it's true. And you will find out one day. So what was I talking about? Prayer, my friends. You must say your prayers. You are co-creator God in the making here on planet Earth with the capability of dying, your body dying. Some of you think you're invincible. That's just not true. It's illogical to think that way, but I understand. I feel that way some way, sometimes myself. Prayer. Praying for your fellow man. how do you love one another? Just like Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You pray for them. A very simple prayer. All you got to do is open up your mouth and say the words a few times a day. Come on. That's not that hard. And I guarantee you, you will reap the dividends. God, please bless Mr. Biden. He's a good man. And Ms. Harris, too. Protect them. Give them strength. Please, God, my creator, our creator, please bless Mr. Trump. He's a good man. I see the good side of him. So there, very couple of simple prayers that you could do. And one thing I do notice very much so when I see CNN talking about Mr. Trump or Fox News talking about Mr. Biden is they don't have a single good thing to say about the competition, the opposition. I've never heard CNN say one good thing about what Mr. Trump's doing. And I haven't heard Fox News say hardly anything good about Joe Biden or President Obama. I heard President Obama today. And I'm taking a lot of things into consideration as I'm making up my mind about who to vote for. Or whether or not to vote. One thing is, let me tell you, this is absolutely true. Being a man of God myself, I will tell you that I believe I've heard the word of God before. I've heard God speak a few times in my life. I've been visited by an angel one time. My mother told me when I was very young. I was in my bedroom at night. I must have been maybe 3 years old, I think. My mother kept telling me the story over and over until she passed away back in 1999, along with my dad, too. She said one night she heard me screaming and she ran into my bedroom and she said my eyes were as wide as saucers, like I had just seen something incredible. And I was saying, Mommy, Mommy, there was a woman in white, in light, who shone brightly. And my mother said, no, you're lying. No, she didn't say that. I'm just kidding. That made such an impact on her that she remembered it to the day that she died. So I guess we all have that connection to the Creator. I mean, we have spirits and souls in our bodies, you know, my friends. But I was going to say that I heard the voice of God in 2008 when President Obama was inaugurated. It was, I think, the 20th of January, 2009. So it wasn't 2008, it was 2009, January the 20th. And the scenario was they were in the Washington Square, you know. There was about 1 million people. The first black president of the United States of America was a big deal, you know. It really was in America to have the first black president. And now we have Kamala Harris, potentially the first female vice president. And a black female as well. And I heard over the approximately 1 million people that were out there in the Washington Square, a voice. It made such an impression with me that I still remember to the day. And I don't know if anybody else heard it, but being an intelligent person, when I heard this voice, I looked at all of the people individually at them to see if possibly I might have detected through my observation that they might have heard the same voice also. And it seemed that that was true. And the words I heard were, I am. And those words kind of swept over the people like a tidal wave of sound. Very strange why that would be. Not really, but I think the point was that this was an historic time in America, having the first black president, and there were so many people there. And it was a great time for God to intervene, I think, in just a small way, with his voice, saying just a couple of words to prove that America, this is the way I interpret it, I have blessed you from the beginning, America. I was there and I saw what was going on with George Washington. Even before then, the people that were coming to America, leaving England because they didn't like the oppression and the persecution and the subjugation, you know, the king, the royalty. Not that I, you know, I'm not condemning them now or saying anything bad about them now. You know, they're doing their own thing. They can do what they want to do. But people left England because they wanted to get away from that. And they came to America. It was a whole brand new country. And they began settling there. And indeed, they did settle. And America was being formed. But the British were still there. We were still subjected to the British Empire, part of the empire. And the British had troops and navy. And so that oppression continued. And finally, the people said, we've had enough. Let's get rid of the British. And so ultimately, they had the Revolutionary War. And you know what happened, George Washington, the battles and fighting the British, and then the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the Founding Fathers were very God-oriented, God-centered people, and I think they had a connection that maybe few of us have ever really thought about, just how strong that connection with the Creator was. They needed that help. They believed in prayer. George Washington prayed before his major battles, I do believe. And so throughout the years, God has continued, the Creator has continued to bless America. And I pray that God will continue to bless America through the years. We are so deserving as a people for what we've done, and make no mistake of it. That's what I'm trying to say. That I do recognize how good American people are. So many beautiful people out there. Beautiful, decent, hardworking, loving, caring, beautiful people in America and around the world too, but especially in America. I've got to see that because I live here. I was born and raised in Canada. My parents were English. I'm a U.S. citizen now, but of all the people I've seen in the world, and I've been around the world, you know, with the U.S. Army. I've told you that before. I was in the Army for 22 years. I retired in 2004. I've seen all the people, and there's no place like the United States of America compared to other countries in the world. And we are deserving of the best kind of leadership. I'm not saying right now who, because it's a difficult choice for me. You know, I'm taking a lot of things into consideration. I know some people have already voted, and that's a good thing. I voted last election in 2016. I won't tell you who I voted for. Well, I voted for Hillary. There, I told you. But afterwards, right after that, I tried to get my vote changed. I can't remember exactly what happened, but I voted too early, and then it's usually because I hear some mean words being spoken about somebody, you know, and I just changed my mind. I changed my mind, and it was too late. I couldn't. But in retrospect, I did want to help vote in the first female president. I thought that was very appropriate, and I still believe, my friends, that more female leadership in the world will mean a more peaceful future for us, I believe that we've had more wars than we can shake a finger at in our past, more killing. And you know that's true. Throughout the centuries, going back thousands of years, is because we've had male leadership. Women have only just recently started to get equal rights, and that's wrong. I mean, the fact that we weren't doing it before, it just shows how wrong we've been, how wrong we can be. You know, also that's a good point to show that, yes, we are evolving as a species, as human beings on this planet. We've come a long way over thousands of years before inventing the wheel and afterwards. We've made so much progress, you know, and now we've got nuclear weapons, you know. It's even scary to talk about, but it's a reality. And we continue to exist because there is that good aspect of human beings, the decent, loving, family-oriented, looking out for the other person, caring, being generous and helpful. That's what America is all about. And I wanted to also tell you, I'm going to shift the subject to myself. Enough about politics, right? Or, that's not the right way to put it even. Politics system. It's, maybe another word would be higher leadership and the hierarchy that exists. Hierarchy's good. We're going to see that when we get to heaven, my friends. I guarantee you, there's a hierarchy in heaven, and it will be amazing to see. You're gonna love it. And I think we all will eventually get to heaven. There's no doubt in my mind. There's no such thing as eternal damnation in my mind, because I know that our mother and father God are very loving, and they wouldn't condemn one of their children to an eternity of suffering and pain just because they were disobedient or did something wrong. Would you do that to your children? I think not. The only reason that people came up with eternal damnation is to scare people into doing things their way, or because they're not very loving to begin with and were mistreated and abused by their parents when they were growing up, right? So no such thing as eternal damnation. In my way of thinking, is better than other people's in regard to some things. But I'm humble. You know, I just let our dog in. And now when you know, I bet she wants to come back out. Oh, it's the other dog, Goldie. Hi, Goldie. Go on now. Go do your thing. I've got my show going on here. Come on. Go do your thing. Come on. All right. What did you want to just come out here and say what was going on? I thought you wanted to go and do your thing on the grass out there. Yeah, you dogs, you're different, aren't you? Come on, man. And how about you? Are you staying in or are you coming out? Or are you both coming out? Okay, no barking, though, right? Hey, come. All right, come, Gordon. That wasn't very nice. I think she's got a treat hidden somewhere. They can be fierce when they want to be. She buries, they both bury treats. You know, we give them a chicken chew or a piece of pizza or some kind of meat or biscuit, and they'll go and bury it around the yard, backyard. And so that it can be rather protective of that. And our dogs are also, they've got minds of their own. They're very incredible animals. Very brave, strong. I told you, you know, they're very healthy because they run. They love to run. They're also very loving towards each other. The two female terriers we've got, the Smooth Fox and American Pit Bull Terrier. And they get along very well. Most of the time, 99% of the time, but every once in a while they'll growl at each other. And they have gotten into fights before and beat each other pretty badly a couple of times. My wife got bitten by one of them, and I got bitten by one time in the thumb. But anyway, so I was going to tell you about myself today. And I mentioned on my last show that, you know, I love to go to the tracks on Lackland Air Force Base. There's a 400-meter rubber track, and there's a one-mile dirt track. And they are fun to run on. You know, I'm 66 years old, and I'm still enjoying a little bit of running. See if I can still run, you know. That's, to be honest with you, I was in the Army, and I used to run all the time. And then when I had my kidney transplant, and then I found out that I fractured my spine, and I got a profile for not having to run, but now I'm trying to get back into it. Why? Because I want to ensure my longevity. And I don't do a lot of running, but I've been doing a little bit here and there. Or actually, the better way of putting it is usually I'll do mostly a walk and then a little bit of run. I mentioned that in my last show, but today, and I've also done in the past, over the last, say, 4 years, I've been trying to get strong enough to where I could join the Army during its birthday run in June on the post I work on, Fort Sam Houston. They have an Army birthday run every year. They didn't have this last year, this year, because of COVID. And they run like 3 miles, and I wanted, that was one of my goals, was to get up to speed so that I could participate in that run. And I just wanted them to be proud of me, you know. And I thought I could do it. And so I was practicing, and then I had problems with hurting my ankle. I got a stress fracture in my left ankle, and I've had problems with my feet hurting. And so I've been trying to figure out the ways to do it without the way of walking and running without hurting my feet. And it's been a work in progress. Some things, sometimes it works, and some things work and some things don't work, you know, and then I have to change my rationale and get back to the drawing board, so to speak, you know, to be able to continue to try and do a little running. Because why? Because it helps the heart, you know, exercises the heart better than walking. Walking's good, but I'll see with my dogs, especially, just how healthy they are, and they love to run. It not only the heart, but the lungs, you know, it exercises them. So what is the best way of doing things? And I'll tell you, my friends out there, we get some bad advice sometimes. People think that what they tell us is the right way of doing things. And I know there are some people that are qualified to give advice, people who get degrees, people who've studied much on subjects to help other people. And I know a lot of it is true, but then some isn't. And some of the things that we need to grow shouldn't be rocket science, you know. To do things the right way, it shouldn't be rocket science. All I want is for someone to tell me the right way of doing things, please, you know. But there's so many different opinions, and it's hard to find the right way. What's the right way to run? How do you hold your hands? Do you wear socks when you run? You know, I've been working on this for years now. Should you wear socks inside your shoes? And I you know, marathon runners, even though that doesn't qualify them to make a decision on what's right and what's wrong, still, because they could still be wrong, I think from what I've experienced myself, day-to-day living, living with myself 24/7 every second of the day, observing how my body reacts to different ways of doing things, sleeping and seeing how it affects my sleep. Shoes, and I've read about this, I found a really cool article on the internet. And I'd like to read it to you. I had something planned, but let me put the phone down here and log on. How am I doing on time? Oh, man, time is flying. I was going to read a little bit about heaven today to you. Well, I'll find it here. I've got it. You got to log on. I'll go up there. It's called Why We Should Stop Wearing Socks. And this is a pretty intelligent article here. And so I ran 2 miles today without socks on the dirt track. And I held my hands in a special way. And surprise, I found that I had a lot of energy, extra energy. And I hadn't run 2 miles in a long time. It was amazing. I'm so proud of myself. I'm trying to log on here. And one thing is, I'm a black belt in Taekwondo. I guess once you get it, you're always a black belt. Back in 87, 88, when I was stationed in Korea with the U.S. Army, I got a black belt in Taekwondo. And even before that, when I was living in San Diego, I got a green belt in Tangsudo, which is another style of Korean karate. So I had all the basics of punching, kicking, and blocking down when I got to Korea. And I worked through the belts pretty quickly. And I took my first black belt test in Kukiwon, which is near Yongsan, Seoul, Korea. That's a cool name, Seoul, isn't it? Seoul, Korea. I can't get to the site here. Why isn't it not letting me? I think it's because I got to try again. I think I clicked on the wrong certificate. So let me try again. And one thing you learn when you're a black belt or when you're going through the martial arts is how to develop that inner energy within inside you. It's called the ki. You've heard of that before. Bruce Lee. And I studied him. I was a big fan of Bruce Lee. So heartbroken when he died young, early, much too young. He developed his ki. And one thing, I'm logging on here, same time talking. One thing that he was in touch with very much so was his inner energy, his ki. And I've noticed that, is this going to work this time? Come on, work. These computers, sometimes they can be so frustrating. Okay, that didn't work. Well, never mind. No, I'm going to try one more time. So the point I wanted to make is the power of the closed fist. It's like Blake Ruby's theory on how to harness your inner energy. Better check with your doctor, though, before you take my advice, just in case, okay? The power of the closed fist. Because usually that energy that you've got, whether you're dancing or you're running or walking or you're practicing martial arts, the closed fist keeps that inner energy within you. It circulates. And I was reading, too, that it's good for memory when you close your hands and create a fist. Okay, now let me try this again. More choices. Let me try this one. So today I ran. I've done it before. I ran with my fist closed. Now, I've done a lot of research on this, and in the internet, it's not working. God dang. Well, anyway, if you're interested, the ultimate article on why you shouldn't be wearing socks, if you type in your browser, why you should stop wearing socks, and two main points that we'll talk about. The guy is a very intelligent person. Obviously, I've seen that. And the two main things are your toes are meant to splay when your feet hits the ground in accordance with the biomechanics of walking, being a human being. Also, with socks on, your feet slip around inside. Without socks, they don't do that. All that slipping around inside can have effects on knees and hips later on. Maybe not right away, but multiply that by thousands of times throughout the years, you might wind up getting a hip replacement later on in life. You don't want that. But anyway, so the power of the closed fist, changing the subject back to that, I ran today, and so I've been reading that some people say, if you close your fist when you run, you'll create tension in your shoulders. Now, how did they come up with that? Who told them that? Did they experiment with it themselves? What I found today with my fist closed, and when you know it, ironically, there was a guy, we were running around in opposite directions, and he had his hands open. And I passed him twice, three times, actually, going around the track. And he looked depressed. He saw me. And I didn't say anything. I just said hello, you know, good morning, whatever, I forget. And I found that I could keep a pace a lot better. Oh, my God, it was so easier because I've had trouble running a mile before in the past. And today I did 2 miles. And having your fist closed, I mean, you don't have to be absolutely clenching your fist, but just like, you know, if you're boxing, punching at something, you know, I can say that being a first-degree black belt in Taekwondo. And, of course, they teach you that you never want to use it, this power that you have of self-defense, basically, unless you absolutely have to. Not to hit anybody because there are consequences. I've never hit anybody in my life, actually, except for sparring, you know, but I've hit no one in anger in my life. I've been hit a couple of times by people in anger, you know. Fist fights are not good because you can hurt the other person pretty seriously, you know, and knock their teeth in. Oh, my God, that's a lot of pain you're causing them and thousands of dollars and damage to their teeth, you know? You don't want to do that. But there's no law that says you can't clench your fists and punch just for exercise to give your arms exercise, you know? It's good for the muscles. It's a part of dancing. That's what I do when I dance, too. I go to a Zumba class, and I just find myself doing, like, shadow boxing, you know? It's great. It gives my arms exercise. But, again, I would recommend, you know, never to hit somebody in anger and only use, even if I was in a situation, and I think I've mentioned it to you before, that I saved a woman from getting raped when I was in high school. I was in my senior class. We were on our senior trip at a port, a resort on the Pacific coast, in about the middle of Mexico, called Malacque. And I got into it with a Mexican fisherman who was trying to rape my classmate. Her name was Julie Cromlin. And he wound up punching me in the face. And I mean, he was a man. I was 17 years old, Mexican fisherman, stocky guy, lots of, you know, muscle on him. A fisherman, you know. And he turned out he had a mental disorder. also raped another woman before, but I talked him out of it because, you know, it was a life and death situation. But even then, I was a good wrestler. I've always been a good wrestler. But that would be my first resort to try to subdue somebody, would be to tackle them, try to wrestle them. But when you hit people in anger, I mean, you can cause a lot of damage. Hit them in the throat, you can damage the throat, you can kill them, you know. Hitting people in the body. I know what happens. I mean, you've got boxers, but they do it for a living. I'm not saying they shouldn't, you know. That's where my head's at right now. I wouldn't do it. You know, being a martial artist, black belt, everything that goes along with it, the philosophy, you have to live that too, to live in peace, you know, respect your fellow human being. There are some situations where you might have to use it, you know, if you're fighting for your life, and that's okay. That's understandable, you know. If someone hits you and you're being, you know, rather than being beat to the ground, or it's best to fight back, I believe, you know, that's the right thing to do. But anyway, back to the power of the closed fist. Today, when I was running, that was amazing. And I saw it like never before. That not only was my pace more controlled, but I was able to do 2 miles without any problem. So there is something for the closed fist theory. And also, let me take a drink of water. The other options are that I've checked this out on the internet so much, all the different ways they close their fists when running, how you hold your hands, how you move your arms. Oh my God, just give me something simple, you know. Give me something that works for me. The right way of doing things. Come on. Let's get to the bottom of this, you know. It shouldn't be rocket science. Share what you know. Tell me what really works, please, so I can grow. Thank you very much. Well, I have got this here. I've only got a few minutes left. And, you know, I like reading about heaven. And this book, I've told you about it before on previous shows. It's called, I got to position my phone here so I can read. Put my mouse, I won't need my mouse on my computer. Paradise, the Holy City, and the Glory of the Throne, my friends. Because one day we're going to go there. And we're going to be there. It's going to be great. It'll be like another life. It's good to talk about this because remember, never forget that we are here on Earth for one reason only, and that is to develop ourselves spiritually. A lot of us, and I do mean a lot, are not doing that. So the time is now. Each day is a new beginning. To prepare yourselves for that eventuality, that reality in the future, my friends. Okay, maybe I'm trying to find this. I don't know why it's had to turn off these computers sometimes. If you don't control them just right, they can be so frustrating. And sometimes I wonder, does my computer have a mind of its own? And I've only got about 5 minutes left. Shakira, you came at the wrong time. Are you going to go inside or are you going to stay here? Come on. Well, one of our dogs, Shakira, the smooth fox terrier, thought it was time to go in. Inside. She listens to me. I know she likes listening to me. I won't have much time because I'm running out of minutes here. There it is. The Splendors of the Throne, Chapter 30. All right. Beyond all my power of description are the splendors of the throne itself. As we approach nearer the center of the great city and to the region of the Father's throne and Mother's too, mighty waves of light and glory came constantly rolling over us. That's what I told you before about the light. Brilliance and the glory. It's like a wind, a mighty wind. That's why you have to prepare yourselves by developing yourself spiritually so you can withstand that. You don't want to be embarrassed in front of the Mother and Father God. They're so powerful. The light is so brilliant. You don't want to wind up laying prostrate on the ground because you can't withstand their brilliance and glory. And with them came such refreshing baths of love, peace, and joy that our gladness was indescribable, having reached a degree of perfection never known before. The noiseless chariots were moving in all directions. Countless throngs of happy spirits, clothed in the purest garments, and the expression of every face being that of the serenest peace and composure of soul, were moving toward and from the throne. Vast numbers like ourselves were approaching the throne for the first time, many of whom had been within the compass of the majestic wall a long time. But the entire satisfaction with all the surroundings and the perfect contentment of soul made them linger longer at each new object with which they came in contact. It was well for them that they did, for the glory of the throne, which excelleth all else, would be too great for them, like I was saying. I saw many who, on account of the majesty, glory, and light, were so overcome that it reminded me much of the experience of many on earth during great revival seasons, whose spiritual perceptions were greater than their nervous powers to endure. Hence there followed prostrations, trances, fainting, shoutings, and kindred experiences. I found even in heaven that there was a development and growth of the powers of the soul even to an endless perfection, and a strength of mental capacity unknown on earth or even at the first entrance into the heavenly state. Yet endless perfection, and still while approaching, yet never could reach the perfection of God. The majesty of the throne is indeed beyond description. Notwithstanding we had been graciously prepared for it, yet we were so overawed at our surroundings and the sight before us that we did not know what to say or even think. Comparisons with earthly scenes, the richest and grandest, or the greatest works of man, would give but a faint idea. Even human language itself is too tame to tell the story. The memories of childhood experiences were constantly rushing through our minds, so that I said to myself again and again, is this only a dream, or is it real? Have I seen a vision, or am I really in heaven? No dream ever came to me on earth like this. No grandeur ever equaled it. No dream of glory so enchanting. We had been standing spellbound a long time when a man whose face was beaming with a halo of light came to us. He seemed to realize our situation and said, "Dear brethren, have you just come to the throne for the first time?" As he came near us and spoke, we thought we recognized him, but having met so many in such a short time, we were not sure that he was of those in the chariot. "Indeed," I replied, "we have been for quite a little time within the city, but have been detained with so many things and wonderful scenes that we could not reach the throne earlier. "You've been wise," said our friend, who was interesting himself in us. "For even now you are none too well prepared for the great things which are just before you. If you would like to have me, I will accompany you for just a little while in your introduction to this most blessed and exalted place in our Father's house and Mother's house, too. I might add, we would be much pleased to have you do so, for we are in much ignorance as to what is before us." I turned to Bohemian and said, "How fortunate to have such company and assistance. And yet we knew that in our Father's house with as many mansions, we need have no fears, for our needs would be met at the right time." At this, he brought us to a sparkling fountain not far from one of the great entrances to the throne. And with well, that's it, my friends. That was from the book Paradise, the Holy City, and the Glory of the Throne. So let me say my goodbyes to you now. Thank you for listening to my show, and thank you for listening to BBS Radio. May God bless them for helping to make the world a better place, and make no mistake of it, please. We need help as we go forward into the future. So may God, may the Creator's blessings be upon you and keep you safe and well. I love you, and I'll talk to you next week.